Brian Had a Dream. 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
Hello and welcome once again to the quest for 10,000. I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
Thank you so much for downloading this episode as we join together with Brian in his quest to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. We hope that you will enjoy this episode and that you might even share it with a friend or with an enemy, and after listening to this, you would become friends.
Or frenemies. Best of rivals.
Share it with whoever you want to share it with. Speaking of sharing, we are sharing this episode with my friend Andy, visiting from New York City. So, say hi, Andy.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Andy. We hope that Andy's experience as a New Yorker may also come into our conversations that we will be having in this episode, and the next one, too, as a matter of fact. For this episode, though, we're going to go ahead and dive into our topic. Just a couple of weeks ago was the Super Bowl, and the NBA All-Star Game is happening this weekend while we record, and also pitchers and catchers report to spring training about the time this episode goes live. So Brian and I thought it would be a good idea to talk about sports and movies, and particularly what about sports is such a ripe source of material for filmmakers. It'll include a top five Brian's created of films that have a pro athlete in them. And of course, we'll hear some reviews from Brian of some films he has seen recently. But before getting to that top five and those reviews, let's do explore that subject, sports and movies. Brian, when I say sports movie, what's the first thing that kind of jumps into your mind?
Field of Dreams.
Okay, why Field of Dreams?
And to me, it's the ultimate sports movie. It's the one I think of first. After that, maybe Rocky.
So when we say sports movie, what are sort of the boxes that need to be checked?
Well,
it has to have a sport.
Sure, sure. Well, it helps. To me, the best sports movies are ones that attempt to graft onto sports some sort of connection or some sort of profundity, more than just who wins or who loses, but that it means something, some sort of cultural tradition or way of communicating with people in your family or within other groups, some way of identity. Those are the movies that, to me, are the best sports movies. I mean, you know, obviously.
You know, it's funny you say that. That's actually, you just named part of what I was thinking of before we came to record this episode is what sort of sports movies are there? What kind of different types mm-hmm. of sports movies are there? And I think what you just mentioned is sort of sports movie as cultural lens.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd include movies, any documentary, 30 for 30 documentaries on ESPN, any of your biopics that you've had, even Field of Dreams, I think is like that because of the relationship of fathers
and sons.
They
don't actually play a lot of baseball in Field of Dreams.
You're right. I mean, it's more about nostalgia, what baseball meant, America, cultural pieces of America and what baseball sort of meant to that as a national pastime. So sports movie is cultural lens. And I think also, of course, with sports movies, you have the underdog story, right? You mentioned Rocky, mm-hmm. probably the ultimate underdog story in some ways. And then you have what I would call the redemption arc that sports movies often have. A little film named The Mighty Ducks, is a sports movie like that. Emilio Estevez, who finds redemption with this ragtag group of oh, that's right, Kenan Thompson's in that movie too.
Yeah.
Saturday Night veteran Kenan Thompson.
And Joshua Jackson.
Also, and Pacey from Dawson's Creek, also in The Mighty Ducks. So those to me are your three basic types of sports movies. And of course, there's crossover, they overlap.
Sure.
They, you know, one is probably going to have at least elements of the other two in it. But from what you're saying is that you really prefer the third one in my mind, that cultural lens.
I think it's the one that shows is the most original. Like you can say something different the underdog story, it's either going to end one of two ways. Either the underdog wins or he loses, one way or the other. And both of those are ripe for, we've seen this before.
So obviously sports gives a great cultural sort of tableau for filmmakers to graft on, create their own sort of thing. But what other reasons do you think someone who's making a movie, why would they choose a story from sports? Other than that, what is it maybe about sports you think that makes it
it's
easily accessible for
most sports are easy to tell a story because we're all familiar with the sport. We know how it works. So you have the basic story in place.
So you
can
and
build
you have a
off
built-in
of.
Audience with that.
You have a
too,
built-in
right?
audience of people. Yeah. You don't have to explain something. At this point, we know, even if it's not a sports movie, the trope of the high school quarterback, we know what that means.
Right.
Because it's kind of been, it's 60 years worth of associations with that. So we know that.
Right.
And so you can jump off from there, and you don't have to do all that heavy lifting of establishing who these characters are. You put a football in his hand, and you immediately kind of know this is who this character is.
And I would say, too, there's something about it that's so accessible. Everybody has heard of these stories or knows of these teams, knows of those things.
Well, sports movies in the past 15 years have been really fertile ground for people looking at race relations in America, because you have a microcosm of society as a whole. You have 20, 30 people that are various backgrounds coming together, as opposed to, and it's real easy to show how that conflict would happen, as opposed to, it might be harder when you have, they don't have as much interaction in everyone's situation.
And it's amazing to me too, though, I get what you said, yeah, if the quarterback, people kind of know what the quarterback is, but if you ask me, I think most sports movies, and it's ironic in some ways, because football now, in the last 15 years, is our number one sport, excuse me, Andy's a soccer fan. American football is our number one sport. But baseball seems to me to be the sport that we maybe most associate with movies. You said it yourself, Field of Dreams.
There may be a lag. I think part of that is because the people old enough to make the movies up until now grew up in a time where baseball was king. So they've made all their movies, and I think you'll see within the next 5 to 10 years, as people get older and they have more independence to make the movies they want to make, you'll see a lot more football-based movies.
Well, and I wonder about that, too, because the other reason I think, though, that baseball is an easier, maybe, sport, maybe source to draw from, is to me that baseball is probably easier in some senses to film. It's probably of those. It's probably the hardest to simulate for actors in some way. There's great stories of Kevin Costner for Love of the Game. He and John Reilly did not get along because Kevin Costner thought he was a better baseball player than he really was. And John C. Reilly was like, it was a little weird. There's an interview on Letterman or something about
I'm going to take John C. Reilly's
side. I'm going to take John C.
Like
Reilly's
him.
Side of that, too. But I think, in terms of maybe the angles, how you can film just the pitcher and the hitter, football and basketball even, there's a lot more of the crowd, you have to get the sidelines. Seems like there'd be a lot more logistics and variables.
Well, one thing that baseball had going for it, I think, that football did not, because baseball came of age in an era where there wasn't television and you had to listen to it on the radio, because they're filling a lot of time to describe very little action. I think they created these characters. Some of it justified, some of it embellished because of the way they were telling the story. But you knew the name of each and every person on the field of your team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you ask a football fan today, diehard Patriots fan, who is the Patriots left guard? They may or may not know. So you don't have the individuality or the personalities that you do. You know the stars. But in baseball, you had an intimate relationship with each player on that team.
Right.
And I think that helped create...
Well, and it's the same thing, I think, too. Again, if it's just from a technical aspect, baseball players, there's nothing covering their face.
No.
So you can see, and you can get shots and get angles, even when they're playing the sport, that you don't get with the other sports.
And baseball, too, was ahead of the curve as far as integrating different parts of society onto
right.
itself. Not
right.
just not just African Americans, but Jewish athletes excelled in baseball well before they were even thought of in being in any other sport. Italian Americans were in baseball. So you had this melting pot of America on the field that, you know, and you all were cheering for these players. So it helped build this sense of identity and community that a way that other sports have gotten, but baseball did it first.
Right. Well, Andy, what do you think? Again, I know you've said not as big a fan of movies as Brian or I, and really other than soccer, sports is not, you know, necessarily on your radar as much. But what do you think? What do you think? Why do you think there are so many movies about sports? What do you think? Why people have interest in them, and why do you kind of not have interest in it?
Well, I think there's something about there is a level of interest that comes from movies about sports because people play sports, they watch sports. It's something that a great majority of people pay attention to. Thinking on the baseball question, just to as a New Yorker, as somebody who lives in a heavily urban environment, it's a whole lot easier to play baseball in that setting. So mm-hmm. part of why I think the baseball movie has held and why is that baseball has attracted more people. More people can get to a baseball game. More people see baseball games in a year than
in person
than any other professional sport because they're more frequent and the stadiums seat more.
And I think part of what you're kind of getting to that neither Brian nor I exactly said, but it sparks it now for me, is there's with baseball too, people can see themselves maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, you don't have to be big or strong or I mean, it helps. But I'm saying, you know, you look. Babe Ruth was not an athletic type. You looked at him, you wouldn't have said this guy's an athlete.
You look at the baseball field and you see short guys, tall guys, chubby guys. Thin guys. It's really
it's more relatable.
I guess maybe what I'd modify that say is at least baseball, again, for some of the reasons we've named, gives the illusion of the average person can identify a little bit better than perhaps they can.
Well, I mean,
quite as much hero worship, especially in our generation.
Oh, baseball players.
With baseball, other than kind of looking in the past at these great icons of the past. So there's a little bit more, identification. Who's playing the game?
Well, ironically, in some ways, baseball, the game, was open to people of different ethnicities very early. But the mythologizers of baseball was very closed off and has mm-hmm. been for a long time. And because of that, sort of slow to react to how different people would approach the game. And I think it hindered the game.
Okay, last thing for this section of our discussion. You had said at the very beginning, again, Field of Dreams, first thing you popped in your head. We're going to do a little bit one of those exercises. I'm going to name a sport.
Okay.
And you're going to just give the name of the first movie that pops in your head. Andy, you can play too.
Okay.
All right? Okay. So we've already done baseball.
Yeah.
Field of Dreams.
Okay. Yeah, okay. For me.
So.
What is yours?
Mr. Baseball. Tom Selleck.
Not The Natural. I thought it would have been The Natural. I would have guessed The Natural for you.
Right, at that moment it was Mr. Baseball starring Tom Selleck. But The Natural is, I think, the best baseball movie.
Yeah, I know.
Because I don't really count Field of Dreams as a baseball movie.
I understand.
Okay, so football.
Any Given Sunday.
That's right. Oliver Stone, best quote. Baseball is who we think we are. Football is
who
we really are.
For that inch.
Fight for that inch. Any Given Sunday, same. That would be mine.
What, you got a football?
Football?
Not really. Blindside.
Okay.
Comes to mind.
There you go. Blind spot. That's good. Okay. That's good. Okay. Basketball.
Space Jam.
Fish that save Pittsburgh.
I mean, I saw
Dr. J.
Oh, my God.
Dr. J. There you go. Yeah, not many basketball, but The Sixth Man.
I mean.
Starring Dwayne from A Different World.
Yeah, I mean.
And one of the Wayans brothers.
There's probably more documentaries on basketball.
There may be.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, one of the best ones.
Blue Chips in some ways.
Well, Blue Chips, yeah. One of the best basketball documentaries, something I finally watched on Netflix, was When the Garden Was Eaten.
Oh, it's good.
It's an ESPN 30 for 30. It talks about the Knicks of the 70s. And then the movie you love is Requiem for the Big East.
I did like that.
College basketball.
About the corruption and the way money was run sports.
Okay, so we got baseball, basketball, football, soccer.
Bend It Like Beckham, even though I've never seen it.
You've never seen Bend It Like Beckham?
No. I thought of a movie
I've also never seen, which is Victory.
I've never seen Victory either. And I need to, because of Bill Simmons alone.
And it's got Sylvester Stallone, who's in boxing.
It sounds like The Longest Yard for... Oh, that's Rocky.
Which one?
Rocky 1, the first one.
Okay, I think Rocky 4. That's just where I go.
Although...
Rocky 4. End of the Cold War.
Yeah.
Great movie.
I mean, there are a lot of boxing movies, though.
There are a lot of boxing movies.
Now, you said baseball is easy to film. Boxing is extremely easy to film, and it's visceral. And you can be as fancy as you want to be. You know what I'm saying? You can slow down. You can speed up. You can come from an angle. You can go over the top. And it's very easy to film. And so I think it's very attractive because it lets you be real showy. You get in there and you watch the face go. You know, even you talked about it a couple of weeks ago, the Sherlock Holmes movie when he's boxing. Just that scene is so... As a filmmaker, you're so excited about being able to do something like that. So,
right. Okay, martial arts.
Ooh, martial arts. I don't know, Jackie Chan something.
Best of the best.
I don't know. Taekwondo.
80s movie, James Earl Jones.
Okay.
Julia Roberts, brother Eric Roberts. It's about this young
I like that you introduce him first as Julia Roberts' brother.
It's this martial artist. His brother gets killed in a Taekwondo tournament.
I want to imagine that's what's on his resume. Julia Roberts' brother, Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts plays the old veteran U.S. Taekwondo specialist. It's great, something with
Chuck Norris, then. I would say Chuck Norris would be a martial arts movie.
Chuck
whatever.
Norris, okay. Dodgeball.
Or Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Dodgeball, true underdog story.
Dodgeball, the only dodgeball
movie.
The only dodgeball movie that you know of, okay.
What other sports can we think
hockey,
of?
We haven't mentioned hockey.
Hockey.
I'm going to say Slapshot.
Yeah, you got to say Slapshot.
I mean, I could say The Mighty Ducks.
The Mighty Ducks, that's right, yeah.
We talked about it.
There's also a great hockey
movie
called Goon.
Goon is fantastic.
That's the best thing
Sean William Scott's ever done.
Pretty much.
I mean, Stifler to Goon, that's it. Right. That's his.
Okay, last one. Golf.
Tin Cup.
All right, I would have thought you would have said Caddyshack.
Like Caddyshack. I just didn't think of it.
When I said it, I thought Legend of Bagger Vance.
I thought of Legend of Bagger Vance, but I've never seen Legend of Bagger Vance. No, I haven't seen Legend of Bagger Vance. I like Tin Cup because I like how he's like just... It's almost like Phil Mickelson in the actual U.S. Open that happened, you know, 10 years later, where he's just like not going to give up. He's going to take his shot. Right.
Okay, and, well, maybe here's now actually the last question then. King of the sports movies. Give me two choices. King of the sports movies.
Okay.
All right. In this corner, you have Kevin Costner. And in this corner,
Sylvester Stallone.
Well,
Costner has more range, so I'm going to go Costner.
How?
Different genres of sport. What sport movie outside? I mean, okay, you got The Victory, which is soccer. But Sylvester Stallone
was in a racing movie, too.
Oh, racing. What about racing? We didn't mention racing. I know what you're going to say. Days of Thunder.
Oh, yeah, Days of Thunder, yeah.
Bowling. I know what you're saying. There is only one bowling movie. Well,
McCracken.
Or The Big Lebowski.
Ernie McCracken.
You can say The Big Lebowski. There's a lot of bowling in there.
That's not a sports movie, though.
Well, but it may be.
That's not a sports movie.
It's not a sports movie. That's a cheat. That's a cheat.
The Coen Brothers.
That's a cheat.
You can't really classify Coen Brothers.
I'm going to say Kevin Costner because he has more versatility. And
golf and baseball.
And he was in football. He was in Draft Day.
Oh, that's right. He was in Draft Day.
Which
we
is,
really want to give him credit.
Well, that's
that
a sports movie,
movie
right? I mean, it is sports.
That's true. That is a sports movie.
And I know
movie.
It's whatever. But think of, okay, he was in Bull Durham.
Yeah.
Field of Dreams.
True.
I mean, he's got.
True. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't love Rocky movies, but I think Sly is very. And plus, Costner gets credit for being able to do something outside of sports every now and then if he wants to.
All right. Well. Brian thinks it's Kevin Costner. I might argue a little bit more for Sylvester Stallone. Since he was in a soccer movie, Andy, I'm going to guess you're Sylvester Stallone. Yeah. So if you disagree or agree, go to Twitter, @10kmovies. Go to Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com, and drop us a line. Let us know what you think about any sports movie, what you think might be the best, and who you think may even be a better actor than Sly and Kevin Costner in all these genre of movies. We move on now, though, before we get to Brian's top five, we get to some reviews. So, Brian, what have you seen lately that are not sports movies?
Okay. Well, recently, it's on Funny or Die.com, is a movie that's timely because we are in a season where hopefully this will help turn the tide of stupidity that seems to be coming down upon us. But it's a movie based on a book from the 80s that you may have heard of called The Art of the Deal. And the movie is Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal, the movie. Johnny Depp plays Donald Trump. It's got Alfred Molina. It's got Jack McBrayer. It's got Ron Howard, Henry Winkler. It's very funny. I mean, if you are a child of the 80s, you remember the 80s at all, most of the movie is really just a fond lampooning of various cultural motifs of the era and pop culture of the Alf shows up at one point. So
she doesn't love Alf.
I mean, so it's just a mixed bag of everything from the 80s thrown at a wall. And
now, I saw this something on Yahoo about the Netflix.
Yeah,
not Netflix. But it was on Funny or Die. Didn't realize it was a full length movie. Thought it was just like a Funny or Die clip.
No, they did it. And there's a recurring gag, like, they come in, and this kid is stealing The Art of the Deal, or whatever, wants a copy of it. So Trump takes him in his room and says, let me tell you about this book, kid. And at the beginning of the movie, the kid is a Hispanic kid, and at some point, Trump says, wait a minute, what's your name? The kid says, Jose. Says, I need a new kid. and he gets this Asian kid, and he goes, wait a minute. Get out of here, new kid. You know, he keeps on going until he gets the kitty, which is, it's just so funny.
Does Depp play it like Johnny Depp?
No. I almost wouldn't recognize him. And it's not a great, but it's a half-hearted attempt at an accent. It may even be better than the accent he did in Black Mass. So, I thought it was very funny and very timely.
Hopefully
will keep us from going over the brink.
Now, you also said there were some movies you were watching, catching up on.
Tell us
what the latest movie in the Sublime series,
Police Academy.
And what you thought of that?
Well, I hadn't seen all of them, so I was going back through and watching all 7 Police Academy movies. And Lord help us, there are 7. I haven't seen Mission to Moscow yet, but that's the last one. City Under Siege is the one that I just finished, and you have to question the validity of a franchise or its legs when Steve Guttenberg says, I'm too good for that. Like, that is beneath me at this point. I know you got me where I am, but I can't do anymore.
Quick summary of City Under Siege for the many, many people who did not see that movie.
Well, the same guy, and I don't even remember his name, the guy that's trying to fight Lessard and take over the police academy, Mahoney, I think, he is trying to force him out, and he leaks information to the mayor, who winds up being the bad guy in the end, and it's crazy, and really, it, you know, and the guy that makes sound effects with his mouth, you know, he, Lord help him, he managed to get 7 movies out of that skill. and it's not even like he can make any sound effects. He can make like 10 to 12 sound effects that you can get on a like little beatbox machine of your own and do a better job. But he made a career out of that, so good for him.
Good for him. Mahoney, actually, is Steve Guttenberg's name.
Well, what's the character? Lessard is the main guy in charge.
Commandant. Is the commandant.
Yeah.
Tackleberry is the crazy guy.
Yeah, Tackleberry.
Hightower is Bubba Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
Michael Winslow is Sergeant Jones.
I'm sorry for Michael Winslow fans out there that I was offending.
Sweet Chuck is the nerd. Zed is Bobcat Goldthwait,
who also bailed after 2 movies. So
that's true. That's right.
I also said I can't do this anymore.
I'm looking.
I like Bobcat okay in small doses.
Mahoney replaced by Nick Lessard.
For only 1 movie, though.
Sergeant Harris. G.W. Bailey.
The guy who was in MASH, right?
He was in MASH.
And I
on that TNT show.
Remember him fondly from MASH.
I
wish he'd stayed with
Not
MASH.
So fondly.
I mean, I know he's got to put bread on his table, so. And MASH ended.
That's
so
right. Well, tell us then, as we move on from reviews to your top 5. Tell us what is fondly in your memories.
Okay.
Top 5 movies
now,
that feature a pro athlete.
A former or a current professional athlete.
Current.
I went a little different, a little off the. I mean, I know most people would immediately. When I was doing some research and looking at what other people had said about such an issue, and they okay, Schwarzenegger, I don't know that I necessarily include bodybuilding as an athlete, although certainly whatever. But Schwarzenegger did not make the list. But I went a little off-kilter. I want to give a couple of honorable mentions before I get to my top five. Okay. One, and I'm going to name the movie and you tell me who the cameo was because you'll know it immediately. Spider-Man. Macho Man Randy Savage. I got to give a shout-out to Macho Man. I mean, that may be...
Rest in peace.
Uh-huh. And also a movie we've discussed frequently, and I didn't even think about a pro athlete having been in this movie, Scrooged. Brief cameo. Do you know who it is? Mary Lou Retton. She runs... Oh, she's Tiny Tim.
That's right.
So she doesn't rank the top five, but it's worth you know, reminiscing about.
Yeah.
Okay, number five. He plays himself in this movie years later, after the fact. It's Jerry the King Lawler in Man on the Moon.
Tell folks what Man on the Moon is.
Man on the Moon is the story of Andy Kaufman. And he was as much a public performance artist as he was a comedian. He didn't excel necessarily, but he thrived on making people uncomfortable. You know, in a lot of ways, the humor of The Office and shows like that comes out of Andy Kaufman.
And so Jerry Lawler, professional wrestler Jerry Lawler, one of Kaufman's biggest...
Yeah, well, Andy Kaufman would come out and he would say he was the intergender wrestling champion of the world, and he would say, "I'll pick any woman that wants to wrestle against me." You know, he would you know, I don't know if there were plants or not, but then he got in league with Jerry Lawler, and he said, "Why don't you pretend to be, you know?" So they worked this angle, and then they went on the Letterman show and they pretended to beat each other up and all this. And this movie is 15 years after Kaufman dies, they're recreating the bit, but Jerry Lawler's playing himself. So.
That's pretty good.
Not much of an acting stretch, but still. Okay, number four, a big guy, Andre the Giant, The Princess Bride.
Nice.
If you were born from 77 to 86, you have extremely fond memories of The Princess Bride. It's part of that's because, you know, we came of age when it was on VHS tape and it was one of the tapes your parents probably put in there that you watched over and over again, and you all had it and you've all seen it a dozen times at least. And you don't, a lot of people maybe not even really remember Andre as being a wrestler so much as they know him from the movie.
Sleep well and dream largely.
I mean,
all right, number three.
Number three, a recent movie, and I think the best in a franchise that may be going downhill now, in my estimation, but some people will say no. Fast Five, The Rock.
Okay. And you think Fast Five is the best
of the seven.
Why is that? Just real brief, why do you think that's the best?
Because it's like a heist movie. It's almost like a testosterone or more testosterone-filled version of Ocean's 11.
Okay.
Or Ocean's 11 with cars.
That's a nice tagline. Like, when TV God existed, that would have been a good little story.
Yeah,
and I
like that movie a lot.
Right,
and I like
two.
The Rock. Number two, I'm going a little off-kilter again. Heavy on the former professional wrestler side, Ed Wood, featuring George the Animal Steel.
Who played George the Animal Steel?
Well, he was in the movie.
Oh,
George,
he was in the movie.
He played
okay.
a former Swedish wrestler who was in the movie playing Nine from Outer Space or whatever. I like that movie, and he did a good job.
All right. Did he eat a Sternbrochel? No, don't answer that question.
He could have.
And number one.
And this one is a stretch for former professional athlete. Okay, it's a stretch. I admit that. But I'm going with it anyhow. Number one, The Wrestler, the movie with Mickey Rourke, which we didn't mention wrestling movies, but that would easily be the best wrestling. Well, maybe not.
Obviously.
But in this movie, I saw this today. I don't remember him being in the movie, but I'm going to count it anyhow. Ernest Big Cat Miller.
He was in that movie.
For those of you unfamiliar with Ernest Big Cat Miller, which I'm assuming is all of you.
He had a James Brown gimmick.
He was briefly in WCW Nitro as the mixed martial arts, you know, he was going to revolutionize professional wrestling with his mixed martial arts style, and it didn't take off, but... I remember him.
He didn't. Now, here's I'll say one movie I'm surprised not on your top five. Airplane.
With Kareem.
With Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's probably the most famous, I feel like, sports cameo. This is all the time we have for this episode now. Andy, thank you so much for joining us this episode, friends. We hope that your week is a 10.
10 plus. Borderline 11.